Good morning. Thank you, Josh, for those wonderful songs you picked. Again, I want to, like Daryl said, want to wish all the moms out there and grandmas and a happy Mother's Day. Our love, honor, and respect to you. You do an amazing job. A couple of prayers before we get into our lesson. We need to remember Dick and Peggy. They're going to be traveling, leaving Tuesday. They'll be gone to Nebraska for about 10 days, going to granddaughter's wedding, right? And we need to remember them. Brother Garfield sent in a card. He says, brothers and sisters, I want to report that the prayers of the saints have been answered. His cousin, James, who had cancer, it has gone into remission, and the family thanks us for taking the time to pray for them and recognizing his need. Please continue to pray for him and add his mother, Gwen Guthrie, who has also been diagnosed with cancerous spots in her body. Please continue to pray for Barry Drews, whose condition has failed to improve. So we need to remember Garfield's family at this time and keep them in our prayers. And also Judy Shattuck's grandson, Chandler. We have prayed for him in the past, and she is requesting continued prayers for him. He has struggled many years with addiction problems, and we need to keep him in our prayers. Let's go to God right now on behalf of these requests. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We rejoice that Garfield's cousin James's cancer is in remission. We ask that you continue to be with him and any treatments that he gets. We ask that you be with his mother as the doctors treat her condition. We ask also that you be with Barry Drews, comfort him, and be with the doctors as they best treat his condition. Dear God, we ask that you be with Dick and Peggy as they travel out of state. Our desire is that they are safe and healthy in their travels. We pray for their granddaughter, that the marriage will be strong and based in you. Dear God, we pray that for all of our marriages. Dear God, we ask that you be with Judy's grandson, Chandler. I know that Judy loves him very much. Please be with him. The stronghold that addiction has, please help him get the proper treatment and therapies that he needs. Dear God, be with us as we continue on in our worship to you and to our lesson. Let it be done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you might know, years ago, man, when was it? 1984. Before I became a teacher, I had, I'd actually had some, I knew I wanted to teach and coach, but kind of had some plan B's, C's, and D's, and so forth. And I took the test for the fire department. And one of the tests, the written test, was in a large room, kind of an auditorium style room, and the lady that was giving the instructions gave the instructions to you know, do your test, and when you're done, come up here, put it in the wire basket, take a seat, and then further instructions will be given out later on. So people are doing the test, and I was, I don't know, maybe in the third to get done. and I turn it in, and I'm sitting there at my seat, and it was kind of sitting over there, and just waiting for everybody to get done, and I'm noticing people are coming in, putting it in the basket. Some people are coming up, telling the instructor, you know, I'm done. What do I do with the test? And she goes, I'll take it, and this and that. And they'd go sit down, and she'd put it in a stack. And other people are coming up, you know, put it in the basket. You know, are we free to go now, et cetera, et cetera. And she goes, yes. And they'd turn around, get their stuff, and walk out. And then I'd notice, she'd reach down, take that paper out of the basket, put it in a stack. There was a stack on the table, and there was a stack in the basket. And I'm noticing this. And when everybody was done, she gave the instructions that you'll be notified by mail in a couple of weeks. I don't remember what the next phase was, if it was the physical part or whatever. But anyway, gave the instructions and said, you're free to go. And people are getting up, packing up, and going. And I'm just kind of waiting around. And as the last of the people are going out, I go up to her and I said, can I just ask you a question? She goes, yeah. And I said, I noticed you were making two stacks there. And she goes, uh-huh. And I said, can I ask why? And she goes, well, these people didn't follow the directions. And these people did. I go, what are you going to do with that stack? She took them. She turned around, just dumped them in the wastebasket. And she goes, where's yours? I go, it's in the basket. And she explained, we need people that will follow orders. We need people that will listen to the minute of details, because when people's lives are on the line, you may not be given another chance to hear instructions. And what does it matter if you go this way or that? If they're clearing a building, they need people that will do it exactly what they were told, to know who is where at any given time. And she goes, we do not need people that won't follow directions and that won't think. And that always impressed me. Always impressed me. And our lesson today is little things. Little things. Asking, are we free to go? Do I turn my paper in here? The instructions had been given. That lady that worked for the fire department giving the test wasn't being mean when she threw those papers away. She was doing it for the good of the people that followed the directions. She was doing it for the good of the community. People that never even knew about that. People that whose lives may be saved because others followed directions. In life in general, if you're watching a game show or playing a game at home, you know, on Jeopardy or something, I've never seen anybody get upset. Sorry, you didn't say it in the form of a question. They knew the answer, but you didn't form it in a question. People, I've never seen anybody get upset. I'm sure they probably were. I knew the answer, but I didn't. You didn't follow the rules. Could you imagine in a football game, somebody breaks away, is so far away from everybody else. They've demonstrated they're going to score. And they're just running up the sidelines, not even close to anybody. But they step on the line and they go on in to score. And the referee calls it back that they had stepped out of bounds. Oh, come on. That runner had demonstrated that they were better than everybody else. They got out ahead of everybody, and you're trying to tell me that I never see that going on. They stepped out of bounds. And people live with that. There's little things that God cares about. Little things. Don read to us from Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses." Moses had had instruction on this. It wasn't like God just left him up to his own devices. God gives him instruction. Verse 8, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give to the congregation and their animals." In verse 11, "Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank." Don't you know how good that water tasted? You're out in the middle of the desert in just desolate area. It's probably hot. We understand deserts and heat. And now, out of this rock comes gushing water for them and their animals to quench themselves. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." As great of a man as Moses was in the Old Testament, he is mentioned throughout the New Testament for his faith, his obedience. But because he did not follow what God told him, there was consequences. Amen. He did not get the glory and the privilege of leading the Israelites into the promised land. Doesn't mean that Moses isn't going to get to go to heaven. He did not get to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness wanderings into the promised land. Oh, but God is love. He wouldn't do something like that. A little slip. He just did. He just did it. I hear so many religious people. In fact, I was talking to some people this past week about this very concept. Oh, well, God wouldn't do this. You know, God is love. Yes, He is. God would not do something like He just did in Numbers. In Numbers 18, we see about the calling of the Levites to be the priests. We never see people from the tribe of Benjamin justifying, "Well, why can't we be priests? You know, Tracy, Brother Tracy, he's from the tribe of Benjamin, but man, he's always wanted to be a priest. He would be such a great priest. And Brother Preston." But they happen to be from the tribe of Benjamin. They would be such great priests. We don't see justification like that in the Bible. In Exodus 28, it gives instructions, "And they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked." We do not see the Israelites, but God, let me just throw this in. We've got a whole bunch of beautiful green material. In fact, the people prefer the green over the blue. Let's keep the people happy. You know, they've been through so much. You know, and what else? It might convince those nations around us because they like green. Maybe we could get some converts if we appeal to them. Not once do we see them justifying making the garments, the priestly garments, out of anything other than what God said. Noah. In Genesis 6, God said, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, I do not know. I've tried to do some research what gopher wood is. Is it a tree called gopher wood? Is it a gopher wood tree? I don't know. Is it a process? A condition of the wood? I don't know. But Noah obviously knew. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. God, I've been working on this thing for over 100 years. I've got it measured. I've told my sons, measure twice, cut once. Isn't that the old rule? Measure twice, cut once, to make sure you get it the right dimensions. But you know what? We're going on over 100 years now. I'm just going to make it one big room. Not the decks. We've put a lot of work into this. I don't want my sons to get discouraged having to go longer. We don't see that. We do not see it. One of my favorite accounts in the Bible, the story of Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. I remember growing up, being a teenager, if I had a pimple. Luckily, I did not have a lot of pimples. But if I had a pimple, oh my goodness, that's my whole week is ruined. That's all you see in the mirror. Look in the mirror, and you just see that pimple. This man had leprosy. His whole body was just open sores. And he was given instructions that you can be healed. This man of God, Elisha, can heal you. He goes and he finds out what he needs to do. And it says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Naaman tried to, not being a man of God, tried to justify. Well, wouldn't the rivers of the Pharpar and the Abana be better than the Jordan? Aren't they cleaner waters? And finally, he was convinced to just obey what was told to you. He goes and he dips 7 times. Not 6, not 5.5. I don't know if you can dip a half a time. Dipped 5 and got a little splash. I don't know. But you don't see it. He was restored when he dipped 7 times. God has given us very easy instructions about salvation. Very easy. But yet I hear so many people trying to justify and cut corners and come up with their own rationale about what they need to do to be saved. About the only thing up there on God's plan of salvation that I don't hear people arguing about is the belief. I tell you, we had a wonderful class this morning in Bible class, and a lot of this was kind of the concept was discussed about God and His timing. You've got to hear the Word of God. You've got to believe. And most people believe that you have to believe. But they justify, well, God knows what's in my heart. I don't necessarily have to confess it before man. He knows my heart. I don't necessarily need to repent. You start talking about repent, you're getting into a works-based salvation. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't do enough of good things to earn our way. So why are you talking about repentance? You can't earn your way. Jesus said, in fact, the believe through the rest of the list are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Baptism is a big sticking point that people will justify. Oh, well, I'm saved before I'm baptized, and I'll be baptized as, what do they say, an outward sign of an inward salvation or whatever. Or they will be baptized in a way that's not outlined in the Bible. I was baptized as a child, as a baby. Or somebody was baptized, you know, I'm going to go be baptized for Grandpa so-and-so who's long gone. Things like that. Remaining faithful. No, once saved, always saved. There is nothing you can do after you're saved, you can't fall away. That is the argument of some people. You don't have, why are you talking about this remaining faithful? Once you're saved, and there's nothing you can do. That's that Calvinistic doctrine, that there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Here's a whole list. And it's not even an exhaustive list. It's about 9 or 10 different scriptures about baptism being necessary for salvation. I had a discussion just a few days ago with some people that had a very unique but very common belief about what you must do to be saved. And baptism was not part of it. That basically all you need to do is believe in God and He knows your heart. But it refutes all of these verses. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, I see people justifying about attendance. Coming up with every reason and excuse under the sun why I don't have to go to church or Bible class. Dick, I really enjoyed that article that you posted. I think it was yesterday. Might have been the day before. I don't remember. Last few days have kind of run together with me. I'll tell you what happened in 1836, but I can't tell you the last few days. But in Hebrews 10, 24, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." Obviously, some people were not assembling together with the saints, and it was being criticized for it. Revelation 2:10, Jesus' words, as John, the Apostle John, wrote them down in Revelation: "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Not once saved, always saved. Not get saved and then coast the rest of your life because you're good. Be faithful until death. Little things. Little things. Not punch your time card and then you're good to go. little things matter to God. Take this outline with you this week if you need some study material for a devotional or something. Maybe look some of those scriptures up, see what they say. But just remember, just like in life, little things. Doesn't matter whether the light is red or green. If somebody ran a red light and hit you, it would matter to you. It's no big thing. You were driving too. I wasn't speeding. What does it matter whether it was red or green? It matters. It would matter to you if somebody ran a light and hit you. It matters to God. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers of our brothers and sisters, if you need to repent of sin, please do so. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, please do so. If you would like to study more with us, get with any of us, and we would love to study with you. Whatever your need, please come forward, let your need be known while Josh leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.